So I'm sure everyone kind of knows that I retired 3 years ago, actually, February 28th from VOA.
Can you get more treble on there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Audio process.
He wants more treble.
More treble. 34 years in the place. How long have you been there, Ken?
32.
32, okay. All right, so I want to start off by, you know, saying obviously these are my own views, and I can speak freely as our friend from RFA said earlier in the day. I'll start off, you know, trying to be a little bit provocative, which is that you've all been the subject of fake news. Can anyone identify the fake news that you've heard about involving VOA in the last 3 or 4 months? Anyone?
VOA is about to be expanded.
So I don't know. Did anyone see a Rachel Maddow episode some weeks ago where she went crazy and?
Yeah.
And she was basing her story on Politico and Washington Post editorial where she said that Trump was about to take over VOA and
yes.
that they had sent two, you know, the way she's told it, you'd think they were just kids out of high school, but two kids into VOA and that this was the precursor of the takeover. Yeah, okay. Actually, when that story aired, quite a few of us, both still in VOA and some of us outside, actually contacted her producer and had a conversation with him about the inaccuracies and exaggerations in that report. I didn't vote for Trump, and I'm not, you know, definitely not one of his fans, but it pisses me off when, you know, Americans are subject to, you know, disinformation from wherever it comes. Of course, someone probably accused me of doing some of that as well, but anyway. Let me just roll through this. I'm going to pack a lot of information in here. That's for anyone who hasn't seen it. The Independence Avenue view of VOA. Has everyone been there or taken a tour?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to show you any organizational charts or anything like that. But I'm going to go through for you what's happened, you know, legislatively, and what happened while Barack Obama was still in the White House, and what's happening now. So let me start right off. If any of you have any questions, I have a lot of stuff to get through, but I'll try to, you know, answer it as we go along. So here we go, facts, not alternative facts, about 2017 defense authorization legislation, okay? Obama signed that in December of last year. The bill contained elements of, let me get rid of my little capture thing here so we can get that out of the way here, hold on. The bill contained elements of previously introduced Senate and House legislation. It was not part of some Trump plot to take over the voice of America. I mean, I very much doubt that Donald Trump was waking up, you know, in the middle of the night or waking up in the morning and deciding to tweet about the VOA. The defense, the NDAA, there's one every year, or at least they should be, and basically it's an authorizing bill for defense spending. It reduced the BBG to advisory status, and it placed the CEO, the chief executive officer, in control of, to be in control of VOA and other U.S. government broadcasters. The CEO for about the last year or so, can't quite recall, a year and a half, has been John Lansing, who was a Scripps executive for a long time, and had also gotten his start in television as a, what was he, I think he was a cameraman at some point, in technical areas. Anyway, he's now the CEO, and the BBG, the existing BBG members, of which there are nine, and technically the Secretary of State, has always been an ex officio member of that board of governors. They're able to serve out their terms, but eventually there's going to be this new thing called the International Broadcasting Advisory Board, the IBAB, so it's another acronym to add to your list. So that hasn't been formed yet. The key points again, modified the International Broadcasting Act of 1994, reduced BBG to advisory status continues to exist as an entity in the executive branch, but the CEO formally established with initial 3-year term, in other words, anyway, let me skip over that. The International Broadcasting Bureau, which you saw in the previous presentation about RFA, is basically eliminated, all right? So again, a lot of this is kind of, you know, gobbledygook. On this new board, there are 5 members, as you see, including Secretary of State appointed by the President to advise the CEO. The BBG members whose terms did not expire are able to, will constitute the members of this first advisory board and hold office. You can read it up there. Members of the board shall not be regular employees of the U.S. government. They need to be distinguished in fields of public diplomacy, mass communications, print, broadcast, digital media, foreign affairs, and are not compensated. So you can see where the members of this new future board are coming from. Okay? So Congress has a role in deciding who serves on this board. They are too. Provide CEO with counsel and recommendations for improving the effectiveness and efficiency of agency and its programming. Meet with the CEO at least twice annually. Report periodically to congressional committees. If the CEO determines at any time that RFERL RFA not carrying out functions in effective and economical manner, they may. This is where actually I wonder if I skipped over something here. Let me see if I went to the grantees. No. So if he doesn't like how things are going, they're not carrying out functions in effective and economical manner, may award the grant, the money that they got to other entities. So here we are. CEO may condition the money that Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Asia, Radio Liberty, MBN, the Middle East Broadcasting Network, condition annual grants on consolidation into a single consolidated private nonprofit corporation to broadcast and provide news and information to audiences wherever the agency may broadcast. So now we get into some of the details. The consolidated grantees, in other words, not VOA, but the other media or broadcasters, shall counter state-sponsored propaganda undermining national security or foreign policy interests of the U.S. and its allies, uncensored local and regional news and analysis to people in societies where robust indigenous independent free media does not exist, help countries improve their indigenous capacity to enhance media professionalism and independence, and develop partnerships with local media outlets, and promote unrestricted access to uncensored sources of information, especially via the internet.
Dan?
Yeah.
The previous slide, the term broadcast was used.
Right.
Is that a term of art that is defined in this bill or in this piece of, in this executive order? This executive order, is that what it is? Is this an executive order or is it a bill that was signed?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, All of the VOA and all the international broadcasters, as we have thought of them, have come to be described as U.S. international media. That's the new description. It's USIM. It used to be, USIB, and now because the internet has become, so important in playing such a role, we now kind of refer to them as international media.
But broadcast is a term of art being used in this language.
That's right.
Is that right? So what does that mean that word was used there?
Good question.
Okay.
So, brand names RFA, RFE, RL to be retained. Let me drop down to point number 3. There's an inspector general of the State Department and the Foreign Service to respect journalistic integrity of all broadcasters and may not evaluate their philosophical or political perspectives reflected in the content of the broadcast. And regularly consult with and seek from Secretary of State the guidance on foreign policy issues.
Who's the Secretary of State?
Okay.
T-Rex.
T-Rex.
Yeah.
Right. Radio Exxon.
Yeah. Radio Exxon. So I'm sorry I went through that pretty fast, and I think I may have skipped a slide, but remember that the non-VOA broadcasters, I'll just say broadcasters, they're grantees. They're independent, and they're not federalized as the VOA is. Okay, so there's a separation there. So, I just read to you right out of the legislation the part about what they wanted to do with, what is that beep that keeps going on? What they wanted to do with the broadcasters. Simultaneously, there was created a thing called the Global Engagement Center. And you can see that it's to be based in the State Department, headed by a presidential appointee. You can see what it's supposed to do: synchronize, lead, coordinate efforts of the government to recognize, understand, yada, yada, counter foreign state and non-state propaganda and disinformation efforts aimed at. $180 million for the first two fiscal years. $60 million coming from DOD to start up. Keep in mind that any federal employee, including, let's say, VOA employees, can be detailed to this Global Engagement Center, except that center may not, it also may hire US citizens or aliens. Okay. This is where the deep dive begins. Because when you take a close look at the legislation, and most Americans did not, most people don't even know that VOA and other organizations like it exist. Can you all read that, or shall I just quickly go through it?
Read it to us, it's pretty hard.
All right, so integrate interagency and international efforts to track and evaluate counterfactual narratives abroad that threaten the national security interests of the U.S., allies, and partner nations. Analyze relevant information, data analysis, and analytics from U.S. government agencies, allies and partner nations, think tanks, etc. As needed, support the development and dissemination of fact-based narratives and analysis to counter propaganda and disinformation directed at the U.S., allies, etc. Identify current and emerging trends in foreign propaganda and disinformation. In order to coordinate and shape the development of tactics, techniques, and procedures to expose and refute foreign misinformation and disinformation, and proactively promote fact-based narratives and policies to audiences outside the U.S. Wide range of technologies and techniques by sharing expertise among federal departments and agencies. Okay. And finally, stuff about records here. Identify gaps in U.S. capabilities. Identify countries and populations most susceptible to propaganda and disinformation.
Right.
Coordinate with U.S. allies. Okay. And a major part of this center is that it's going to be giving grants of money to non-government organizations to support local independent media, collect and store examples in print, et cetera, analyze. All right, so let me just make a couple points. There's a message here, and the message actually began with what I call precursor legislation and other steps. The message is that VOA and the grantee organizations are not just like CNN and MSNBC, all right? They're federal, in the case of VOA, it is a federal agency, the others are grantees, but they're all falling under the guidance of this legislation that Obama signed in December of last year. So people talk about, many people at VOA, for example, get very sensitive when people talk about messaging. But we're journalists. We're not supposed to be involved in messaging. We're not supposed to be countering propaganda or countering anything, in that sense. We're just like everyone else at CNN and MSNBC and CBS, etc. This is the foundational legislation, and it started, as I'll show you in a moment, back in 2011 with an executive order issued by Obama. that's going to determine, you know, what's happening in these organizations going forward. So there you go. Obama executive order for integrated strategic counterterrorism communications initiative. This is in 2011, the executive order, establishing a temporary organization, the CCSO, and then the big thing is it's a CSCC. Now, you may have seen something about the CSCC, because it was based at the State Department. It was the one that was, you know, countering ISIS messaging and Al-Qaeda messaging. And there were quite a few new reports in the print media, and one on CBS that I think I have here, that basically said it wasn't really working. And there's a long article in the Times of the Post about this. But again, look at the terminology here. Coordinate, orient, and inform government-wide public communications and activities directed at audiences abroad. Coordinating analysis, evaluation, and planning functions with the National Counterterrorism Center and with other agencies as appropriate. Let me stress here, Obama or his executive order in 2011 ordered interagency reps to include the BBG, DOJ, Defense, Homeland Security, Treasury, Counterterrorism, Joint Chiefs of Staff, CIA, and AID. Okay? So all these, you know, this is part of what he envisioned as a whole of government approach. Okay? So here's some of the other legislation that went into the development of what Obama signed. There was a Portman-Murphy bill. It was called the Countering Information Warfare Act of 2016. There was a House version, H.R. 5181, by Kinzinger and Ted Lieu, which was basically the House companion. There's that bill. At the same time, we saw a lot of frustration on Capitol Hill, members of Congress, with the what I like to call the morale and performance disaster that was unfolding under the BBG for years and at VOA also. So Matt Salman introduced this bill, and he said, VOA has veered from its original mission and has sadly become another duplicative federal program. Rather than working to fulfill its original mission, VOA has fallen into the rut of merely mimicking other news outlets by simply reporting news. Unbiased news reporting is important in countries where freedom of the press is limited. Because of this, the U.S. already funds organizations tasked with disseminating unfiltered news to regions of the world that lack a free press. While a worthy cause, it is not one VOA was primarily tasked to do. He goes on to call it Cold War relics such as VOA have been rendered obsolete with the rise of the internet and social media, especially in closed countries, which have connected our world in ways we could never imagine. All right, so this went nowhere, but it's a reflection of the kind of sentiment that exists on the Hill, because there have been a lot of problems with BBG's management of itself and of VOA and of the other, to a lesser degree, I think, with the other agents, the other organizations.
Do you think lobbying Salman to
I don't know whether it was an organic thing that he just came up with. It's hard to tell. Anyway, let me get through some of this. So this was the main bill, H.R. 4490. This bill was proposed by Congressman Ed Royce, but it was a Republican from California. But it was bipartisan. Okay, it's the Royce-Engel bill. Elliott Engel, Democrat. Okay. It proposed a new name for the whole thing, U.S. International Communications Agency. This bill didn't go anywhere, but it was then turned into H.R. 2323, which basically had the same objectives. And it was H.R. 2323 that, if my memory serves correctly, finally passed by unanimous House vote. Okay. Here, by the way, let's see if we get any volume on this. Anyway, this is the, I'm not getting any audio, but.
Parts one and two again.
Yeah, let's see here. Nope. Well, should have been. Anyway, CBS report, this relates to the State Department counterterrorism operation that I referred to earlier. And you can see, you know, what it was trying to do, but there were a lot of reports at the time, both print and on air, which basically said the State Department effort that Obama had started to counter ISIS and al-Qaeda messaging wasn't really working. I can send you a link or give you a link for that report if you want to. So, let me go back. The legislation that Obama signed this past December contained some major elements of these bills and did all that stuff that I just showed you, right? And the main one of the main points is that the sentiment in Congress and elsewhere is that taxpayers don't really want money to be going to these agencies if it's not doing these things, countering ISIS and Russian disinformation. You know, a lot of, if you read a lot of the articles and read the comments below them, right? Sometimes you don't see the comments on some of these New York Times and other pieces. Read a lot of the comments there. A lot of the people there say, wait a minute, why are these state places still exist, number one? And if they exist and we're paying for it to the tune of $777 million in 2017, we do actually want them to be countering ISIS and countering Russian disinformation and Chinese disinformation. All right, so Obama signed this in December. It was not Trump signing it. And what started was a series of articles. There was a Politico piece in Washington Post basically saying that Trump intended to take over Voice of America. And some of the other articles that appeared, as you can see, this one, Settle Down, New Legislation Did Not Create Trump TV. You remember, everyone thought he was going to have his own network, right? Baseless Angst Over Reforming Voice of America. More panic from Politico on the Post. Here's one, written under the Liberty News Now site. What began as a voice of freedom for the world, to the world through a form of propaganda, has turned into a taxpayer-funded voice of dissent against American policy objectives. Time to defund. Here's another piece. Tom Tradup writes for a conservative website.
Former general manager of WLS.
Okay. It's justice that an Obama-backed plan to streamline the Voice of America, even as its fiercely independent journalists are distributing screeds to audiences overseas, which refer to our 45th president as a dog and a pig, has backfired on them like a nightmarish broadcast incarnation of the Electoral College. All right. For those of you who have an interest in looking at some of this stuff, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which is where that original bill came from, I know for some of our members here, just look at foreignaffairs.house.gov and the website will come up. And there are many links to many of the articles that have been written over the past 4 to 5 years right on that website. So I don't know how to be, delicate about this. I mean, things under BBG and especially at VOA, from my point of view, again, I've been out for 3 years, but I've been watching things closely, and we have people who still work in the building at VOA have not been good. The agency notched another year at the bottom of employee satisfaction ratings. It's called the Federal Employee View, FEVS. They brought in at one point, a couple of years ago, Andy Lack, who was the NBC titan, and he was recruited by the former head of the board, Jeff Shell, to come in and manage and be the first CEO of the BBG, and Lack left in less than 2 months.
Wow.
he's the one who's engineered Brian Williams' resurgence at NBC.
Well, now we know why.
So clearly Lack didn't, you know, Lack had no lack of sense that perhaps
exactly.
This position at a government agency was not good for him. Since about 2009 to 2010, there grew, developed a independent website called BBG Watch, which was mentioned by Al this morning.
Yeah.
And BBG Watch was founded by a former VOA manager who used to head the VOA Polar Service, Ted Lipien, who now lives in, moved from California to Oregon, so he's up there in Oregon now. And it started to take a close look at the websites, not only at VOA, but the other services, and started basically to rabble-rouse and take a close look at what was happening. You know, here's one example, VOA online performance. The headline says, VOA English News, dismal online traffic fails to reach most nations without free media. Here's an interesting thing that came from an internal email based on visits to VOA's English websites November of 2016. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, Tokyo 1776, Paris 1474, Seoul 1272. What's interesting about this and other internal communications we got is that, you know, VOA is supposed to be broadcasting to certain most in need areas of the world, but actually a lot of the listeners, a lot of the users of the site are right, 45% of visits to VOA English website are from the US. So, you know, it kind of raises some questions. There's another chart. Top countries where visits came from: US, Japan, Canada. In fourth place, Nigeria. If you don't get down to India, Kenya, you know, is number eight and number nine. So what this says is 45.1% of visits to the English website came from the US, even though by law VOA should not target or seek a US domestic audience. Something that neither Congress nor most taxpayers would tolerate, considering that VOA is a news operation controlled by the government. VOA must instead, in accordance with its charter, be focused on supporting freedom and democracy in countries lacking free media. However, the number of visits to VOA websites, whether English or foreign languages, in countries like China, Iran, or Russia, is minuscule.
Wow.
And
Dan? Yeah.
Dan, is there any comparison between those hits on websites and numbers that they have on listeners, either via shortwave, FM? Is there any correlation?
I don't know enough about that. Maybe, you know, I don't want to drag him in, but I'm sure Kim has some thoughts about a lot of this. So I just can't answer that question.
Would there be any comparable data for visits to the BBC website or other major websites of that type?
Well, I can tell you from my personal experience, and I started observing VOA closely when I was still working up in Capitol Hill in Congress from 2002. I mean, what I have observed, and especially now that, you know, for example, BBC uses the same tools, you know, Facebook Live and things like that. But you'll see, let's say, a story, let's say not only BBC, but Washington Post goes live on a certain major story. And you'll see a proliferation of hits and likes, right? And a lot of, let's say, the BBC stories often contain thousands of views. And yet VOA material is way down. And you know, you just have to start asking some questions about why that is. So in the meantime, there are other problems. While all this legislative activity was going on, you had various things like State Department Inspector General audit finding wasteful spending, other problems at the BBG. This was a recent article called The Persian News Nightmare, which continues to raise questions about allegations of bias in favor of the Iranian government in the VOA Persian service, which used to be called Persian News Network, but now it's called the VOA Persian again. There's the story, Iranian dissidents demand investigation into regime's secret U.S. lobbying network, i.e. VOA Persian. Breakdowns, slowdowns, management apologies. They had technical infrastructural breakdowns in the building that often meant interrupted the supply of news throughout the building, not only in English, but in other languages. You can see right there deficiencies in security controls for broadcasting. There have been, I mean, there are thousands of examples of this, but this is one, you know, recent one since the election that I took. You know, the screenshot shows that BBC was featuring a Trump speech live on the front page, but the actual Trump speech was buried in the Voice of America blog section. Okay, so this happens. This happened in the last 4 or 5 years. Happened so frequently that it just, you know, it's so obvious right in front of everyone. Now, under pressure from outside critics, including the BBG Watch site, VOA has actually improved quite a bit. I've been a key critic of their failure to cover news events in a timely way. And, you know, when you have someone with 34 years of experience pointing these things out, they don't like it. So it's embarrassed them, and what you see now is that VOA has capability to react to breaking news. What a concept, reacting to breaking news is quite good now. They'll often throw up an AP or Reuters story before they have an actual VOA story. One example in the last year or so I gave was the Muhammad Ali funeral. So this is an example of the kind of planning that goes on at the BBC. That was down, it was in Nashville, was it?
Louisville,
yeah.
So during there were 2 days of it, and the actual funeral was the second day. The BBC had people on the ground with live mics. I mean, a lot of you know the programs NewsHour, World Have Your Say, you know, Newsroom. They do this routinely. And the best VOA could do was send, you know, had a video reporter down there, and he came up with a video in the, you know, over the course of a day or two. But it's different from live on the ground, visceral programming. So VOA, you know, BBC has shown itself to be vastly superior when it comes to this kind of news coverage.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, we talk about the small community stations.
Yeah, ask the question while my program is crashing. So
you talk about the small community stations going live and local, and then you talk about these national things going. Basically the same thing, live and local.
Right.
But you want to bring them to the world. You want to bring them hot and national.
Right. Did I find the right folder? Sorry. Give me a second while I find the SWLFS folder.
It's in the upper left.
Yeah, there you go. This is an old Dell, so. All right, so here we're back. Well, I usually use a giant screen, so they're all out of the, you know, organization anyway, so. Okay, so let me go through it again. Start the slide. Okay, so one again, just to review, new board, the legislation was signed, the board, this new advisory board hasn't been formed yet. A key point is that it's supposed to be involved in countering ISIS and disinformation from the Russians. Of course, that's a big political issue right now, as everyone knows. Various pieces of legislation led to the legislation being signed. Interestingly, it was Bill Clinton back in the 90s who dissolved the U.S. Information Agency, another Democrat. Just an aside. So, I'll just show you this without audio. This is an example of the VOA report from Havana when VOA reporters were on the ground. And this is one of the first Facebook Live pieces that was done. She's speaking in Spanish. And basically, it's a selfie. And what she's doing is talking into the phone and basically pointing the camera out to the traffic around the press center. Okay? But some of the comments to that are here from some people who saw that. You know, if you and I had turned this into an editor before 95, it would have cost us some jobs. This is what happens in an operation with people who have no broadcast education or experience. That sums it up well. Amateurs, quick, run outside and do a lot, file a live Facebook post from the front of the press center. Doesn't matter that it looks like crap. Just do it. Again, the next one. This is a that was a Facebook
Facebook Live, FBL, yeah.
Yeah, where it just, you know, pops up.
No, so those were comments on the feed.
Yeah, well, it's comments both on the feed, but after not on the feed really, because you know frequently people they don't want to criticize directly a reporter, but these are comments that were gathered in reaction to that. This is the BBC report. Okay, just as an example, professional file photos. The whole thing, history, and at the end of this, there's a stand-up by the BBC reporter in Havana Harbor, just, you know, it's just professional. All right? Okay. VOA reporting on the death of Castro. Allegiance to Castro's death after humiliation on Facebook. VOA Bush News 10 hours late in posting to Facebook on Castro's death. VOA, Russia Today, BBC, Facebook, Castro post compared. You can see the figures here. BBC 56,000, RT 11,000, VOA 379.
Wow.
This issue has come up more recently of anti-Trump bias at VOA with a lot of employees basically, you know, popping off on their personal Facebook pages or in Twitter comments. Tax-funded VOA showed more anti-Trump bias than New York Times. Idea of balance and bet with VOA, double attack on Trump multiplied. Voice of America compares Trump to Lenin, Stalin, and Mao in a one-sided attack. This right on the lower left describes what they had a holiday party back in December, which is kind of an annual skit that they do. And in this skit, which was heavily criticized 2 years ago, and actually led in part to the departure of one of the former VOA director, they decided to go at Trump and his wife again. So in the room on government property, they had this skit where they were poking fun at Trump and Melania. Well, aspects of that were recorded on Facebook and got out, you know, to people like, you know, people were watching it on the outside, and it did not help. Also, there was some very biased reporting. Hit piece on Bernie Sanders. The VOA Persian controversy continued with the lawsuit on behalf of two of the employees. Just recently, in the last few weeks, this was revealed where the main Twitter feed that everyone thought was the Twitter feed of the head of the VOA Persian service turned out to be a fake, and no one had noticed this. If they had noticed it, they didn't do anything about it for 2 years. Sorry about the print on it. This is a session during which the former VOA director was chastised at a BBG public session by one of the representatives of BB Watch organization. She's speaking right there, and the director's right to her right. And she basically talked about freedom of information requests, and it was very critical. I wish we had the audio, but we don't. To his credit, John Lansing, the CEO, has tried to repair the morale situation. We will create a working environment that is free of personal favoritism, coercion, reprisal, and retaliation, and other prohibited personnel practices, working to eliminate any behavior compromising BBG credibility or eroding the trust vital to our workplace, ensuring BBG employees are held to the highest standard of honesty, integrity, conduct, and concern, comply with and enforce applicable personnel laws, Most importantly, we'll invest in the tools, processes, and programs that will nurture and support our agency's most valuable resource. So that's good. Here's the survey, the Federal Employee View Survey. You can see where BBG has been rated. It was described in a Washington Post story as a regular bottom feeder. These are two of the articles that I wrote for a thing called the Center on Public Diplomacy, University of Southern California, and you see the titles. One was Shut Down the Voice of America, the other is the Great Cleanup Act at the BBG. And this was another one as well, What's a President-Elect to Do with the BBG? The links are here. If anyone wants more information on this, I can give it to you. And the one comment I made in one of those stories was that where VOA is concerned, there's a widespread impression that it long ago ceased being a first choice for trusted and reliable news for audiences that have been rapidly expanding menus of traditional and online media, including superior content from the BBC. VOA has been on an accelerating slide into irrelevancy, having long ago failed to gain enough traction in the digital realm. Regarding troubled online operations, one official noted that VOA, quote, long ago lost the opportunity to become a destination of choice for global audiences. BBG and other officials regularly roll out deceptively computed and seemingly inflated audience figures showing dramatically expanded use and impact of BBG material. Here's a key point, and I'll maybe open it, to the audience. I mean, I it's my position that if VOA and the others disappeared tomorrow, there might be a period of complaint and protest, but I'm not sure there'd be much of a difference when it comes to global media. I say in these days, like radio and TV stations, government agencies have their own websites and social media channels. The State Department, Pentagon, and White House have multiple ways of connecting with audiences. That the U.S. really needs hundreds of well-paid civil servant broadcasters to explain and analyze is a debatable proposition, as is the assertion that BBG operations can measurably reduce the threat levels to the U.S. homeland and our interests abroad. So the nuclear option, which envisions either eliminating the agency completely or downsizing it significantly, is still very much an issue of discussion on Capitol Hill. I've always made the case that at worst the place could be slimmed down. I mean, you really don't need a $700 and nearly $800 million operation to do the kind of thing that this government seems to be indicating it wants to do right now. But in the end, as everyone knows, this is Washington, the place where government programs, regardless of how unwieldy and inefficient they have become, do not die easily. So it's a real tough one, especially for someone like myself. I mean, I spent most of my life working in this place, but it's really my position at this point is that it's time for something to change. I don't think it's going to change because government agencies just don't disappear. I mean, so all the criticism of the Veterans Affairs Administration, no one's moving to eliminate Veterans Affairs. But this budget is pretty small when you compare it to the big picture, trillion-dollar budgets. Do people make mistakes? Yeah, but repeatedly? And do you see this kind of inefficiency in an organization? I mean, how long would it be lasting if it wasn't a federal agency? So, kind of a depressing picture. I don't know where things are going to go with Trump at this point. The Trump administration representatives who were skewered in the Rachel Maddow MSNBC piece almost 2 months ago, I think, they're still in place at the agency and they're going around to various parts of the BBG. They went to Radio Free Asia, they've been at VOA, they'll be going to RFERL. They're They're interesting people. One of them went to college radio school in Maryland, bounced around to a few radio jobs, and ended up as head of Trump's Wisconsin campaign communications in Wisconsin. I've spoken with him. Haven't spoken with the other one. You can imagine with the atmosphere, with the White House, you know, attacking the press, that these people themselves would be sensitive to, you know, communications at this point. You have Sean Spicer confiscating people's phones to see who's leaking. So we don't know where that's going to go. And at some point, they're expected to report to the administration on what they found about the BBG and VOA. But they haven't done that yet. And I honestly don't know what they're going to say. And I've been generous with my advice. So anyway, any questions? Yeah.
This is not sure much too complicated question, but I can ask it very simply. Why couldn't the Voice of America be as successful as the BBC, an American version, if you will, of the BBC?
Wow. For VOA today to be, for example, a global 24/7 television force like the BBC is, that's a process that would have had to have started decades ago.
Yeah.
And Congress would have had to have increased the budget and understood what was necessary decades ago. So, you know, whereas now you see, for example, the BBC with this new 200 or 200 some million dollar expansion program, which is creating regional production centers in three locations around the world, and they're doing all kinds of things online that the VOA, some of which the VOA are just getting down around to doing. It's not going to happen.
I think it's like anything else with our government. Do we go with CQAM or do we go with the Con? That was the big Motorola thing in the 80s and 90s. Do we go with Betamax? Do we go with VHS? Big debates. Do we go with compact discs or do we go with mini discs? You know, they toil and struggle over what do we do with which, and they never come to a standard.
Well, let me emphasize, I'll go back to the beginning of the presentation, which we lost the audio, so again, there is no Trump plot to take the place over. Jonathan Marks left a comment on one of my articles, that one of the two that you saw here, where he observed, Trump doesn't care about VOA. He's got other means of communicating with the global audience.
Yeah.
He can use CNN. Well, he doesn't like CNN anyway. He can use the ones he likes, whatever. I predict you're not going to see a Reagan moment where you see Trump going to the VOA building and sitting in front of what was then the master control and making a speech. There's an article that I'm preparing now for a major journalistic publication, which makes a lot of these same points, which is that VOA cannot, these places cannot be seen as just other CBS and NBCs. They're federal agencies. And so you've got a lot of people still working at VOA, a lot of my former friends, who complain when I criticize from the outside. And they say, just the other day someone said, are you on our side? And I said, it's not the question of whether I'm on your side. It's a question of what I believe is right based on my experience in the place over many years. Would I like it if I were still working at the White House and sitting there and someone was lambasting the place? Well, actually, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, because I was there when a lot of this criticism started. And then there's a switch that went off, and I realized a lot of this stuff is right on, right on the mark. So, yeah. I think the period of effectiveness, and I was overseas twice and headed the Burmese service, and I was on Capitol Hill for 8 years. I think it was most effective when it allowed its own reporters to do the job that reporters are there to do, which is to cover the stuff that's happening right in front of your face.
Absolutely. So I'm asking you though, in terms of
years,
historical, right?
So
historical impact in terms of a cultural interest.
Yeah.
When do you think VOA was?
Well, you had the end of the Cold War, and I think an argument could be made that the effectiveness and need for it continued well after the wall fell. So we're into the 90s, and then societies are still undergoing a lot of trauma and change, and media, especially media, some of them are falling back, some of them are leaping forward. I would say 95 to 2005, but there's been so much that's happened in more recent years, so. Yeah, any others? Yeah.
Along that question, though, that particular era, you go back further, there weren't as many voices out there, so you had a much larger grasp of the audience because they had fewer options.
Yeah.
Didn't have Twitter.
Well, I'll give one more example for you in the few minutes we have left. I mentioned Brian Williams earlier. And you remember that big controversy when he was let go? Of the nightly news?
Yep.
Well, I and some other outside observers made the point that, observed that VOA did not cover that story for 24 hours. And they really didn't leap to cover that. And the response from VOA people was, well, that's not the kind of story our foreign audiences are interested in. Really? I mean, here's one of the major anchors of the top networks in the U.S., and the VOA isn't even on the board covering this event. This is the kind of thing that I've seen over and over and over again in the place. Or their failure to put Obama on the front page when BBC had him all plastered all over the top. Or Chris Christie's news conference when he was still a presidential contender up in New Jersey.
Right.
And BBC carrying that live, VOA was nowhere with it. Or the press conference given by the CIA director that was live on the BBC, but was, deep six by VOA and ignored. And you gotta wonder, is it a question of news judgment? There's a kind of thing that, people say, well, we're here to broadcast to people overseas, and they're really not gonna relate or understand this. Well, wait a minute. So, like in Uganda, there's no chief television personality that people couldn't relate when someone like Brian Williams is in trouble in the U.S. And some awful strange thinking going on in the place. And as I was starting to say to the other person, what happened also was that increasingly the management in VOA felt pressured to get hits and views on the internet and put up video and what they called TV productions. So there was a period where many of us in Washington, the major bureaus, were tasked with outside activities, right? For example, if there was a Palestinian story at the White House, I'd get a call from a news manager saying, we don't want you to file on that today. We want you to go out and do a report on trade union activity in Indonesia. And so I would literally find myself walking out of the White House, not having filed on the same story that the AP guy next to me here and the NPR guy next to me here were filing on. That's what I was saying. What I meant is you have to let reporters do their essential job and not be jerked around by this quest for hits and views and clicks. The way the BBC gets those clicks and views is by putting superior production values and coverage right up on, as they say, on radio. What do they say? Online radio and yeah. So yeah. Yeah, George.
I think I've noticed something that nobody's asked about yet.
Yeah.
Roland, the very first thing you said was this whole business about restructuring the BBB. And what I immediately recognized in the details that you were having trouble getting out.
Yeah.
Because I worked for years for places funded by HHS, not you. And they used the exact same structural strategy. Where they would make sure that you either performed or you became a
Well, you can see that in the language, yeah.
And I worked in that environment for decades, and what it always led to was corruption on the part of the grantees. I mean, actual criminal corruption. And then the new grantee system that was all run by a bunch of inspector generals, which you briefly mentioned.
Right.
And they farted around and farted around and farted around and didn't do anything. And it just led to a big mess, that seemed to be. Which, now, how that affects all these content issues, I don't think at all. But I think the point you made that's important that we didn't really discuss was all this restructuring was a complete waste of time. And
right.
Yeah,
well, there's one other final thing I just want to leave you with. I'll take, does anyone else have a question, real quick? Yeah, Mark.
I have traveled very widely in the target audience places where Voice of America got used to broadcast and things like that, so my question comes from that. So what is the relevance of Voice of America here with $800 million budget? And the mission needs to change, basically. It cannot be a government arm, semi-propaganda, a lot of news, and something that they cannot really hear.
But it's not changing. That's the mission you saw.
So is it not better that it becomes a sort of an independent organization, America's voice to the other parts of the world,
right.
No federal government,
yeah.
And they can do it for maybe a lot less money. And then the second question is that why does Voice America continue to broadcast to parts of the English-speaking part of the world in languages they don't need to be told about? That is basically half the budget. Why would you like to persist on doing things like special English where they laugh about the program when their English is actually better than what they actually
have? Yeah, right, exactly.
So the metrics of measurement of audience and other things is pretty much off. And at this time, they took a hard look and kind of hide that situation, that condition completely.
Well, let me make this broader point. There's no way with that kind of legislative foundation, which as I pointed out, began with Obama in 2011, and probably before that, there's no way that this agency will be seen as anything but part and parcel of the national security and foreign policy making structure. Okay, you have a consultation required with the Department of State, advising the CEO, you saw what I put up there. And so, you know, we have reporters, many of whom came from commercial radio and TV, and, you know, some of them, they lost jobs, they came to VOA, and now they find themselves at the White House, not like me, I stayed there my entire life. But they come in here with thinking that they're just like other organizations. They're not. Obama gave one interview to VOA in his entire 8 years in office. And there's a reason for that, because they came in realizing that place, this agency, was broken and was not keeping up with, you know, the YouTube and the LinkedIns. And, you know, so Obama went off and did interviews with YouTube and LinkedIn. And people like me sat in the briefing room for years without getting interviews with that president, at least. So, you know, there's no way you can look at all that and think that this place is going to be seen as, you know, just another journalistic organization, because there's an agenda. And the agenda is, if Americans agree with it, to counter Russian and Chinese disinformation and combat ISIS and Al-Qaeda. If that's the agenda, that's good. But it's an agenda, okay? And it's an agenda that's you know, puppeteered from the top. And people say, well, we're not interfered with because VOA has a charter that walls us off from any political direction or governmental interference in the news product. No. All kinds of programming decisions are made at the top and they trickle down. That's why if you look at the VOA website today, you'll see the Extremism Watch Desk. The Extremism Watch Desk was created against the strong protests of the journalists and reporters in VOA, because it was an agenda, and VOA was seen to be, you know, grinding that agenda. But it's still there, because the bureaucrats in the agency wanted to be seen by Obama and now by Trump as loyal soldiers in the countering disinformation and ISIS effort. So that's why that's up there. So anyone who says the VOA charter, I don't know if you're all aware of that, says, you know, is a firewall, there's a firewall that's preventing this interference. Yeah, maybe from day to day, but at the higher levels of operation, there's no way.
I just want to make to the earlier point about BBC structure versus Voice of America, I've always thought to compare the two would be almost impossible because the BBC would be like the VOA being over NPR and public television. There's no similar structure, never has been in our dynamic. And my only final point on which you can comment is it just seems to be even more schizophrenic than I realized, in the sense that VOA getting such a minuscule number of hits and listenership versus BBC for its ostensibly neutral reporting, and then people going on Facebook with stuff that is clearly biased, and then the Obama-Trump mission now of being basically the disinformation rebuttal to the disinformation of the other sides.
Right. I really urge you, if there's any other questions I can answer them, but we're over time. So urge you to look at some of these articles that have appeared in various places in recent years. But go down and look in the comments section. Its comments are often concealed, and you have to expand them. But look at those comments and see what Joe and Mary Q across America are saying in response to this. Now, you know, you get a few people who say, oh, the world is screwed up and we need VOA more than ever. Most of the others don't agree with that. They either ascribe, you know, political motivations to VOA. They say VOA was controlled by Obama and it'll be controlled by Trump and, you know, what can we do? But look, it's very revealing when you read these observations, because it really shows you kind of what people who are even close to understanding that these places still exist, what they really think. So it's difficult for me to become a critic. I've left little time for it, but VOA, all these places do good things. You saw all the nice video here about Radio Free Asia. But remember, Radio Free Asia and VOA still broadcast in the same languages for the most part. Okay? Well, there's some that, you know, for example, Laos and Cambodia, RFA has the edge. If they're talking about duplication and something that Trump is going to have his eye on in terms of the budget, when you put these two things side by side, if there's a VOA Cambodian service and an RFA Cambodian service, and an RFA Burmese and a VOA Burmese, you got to start asking some questions. And I made the observation when Al was talking earlier, which is that all these other broadcasters were created, RFA especially, I don't mind saying this, I've said it in public before, they were created on the basis of the lie that VOA was not already doing a lot of the job of reporting in these countries that RFA was going to be doing. I know these people came to interview me in Asia when RFA was being created. And they said, well, don't you think you could do a little more reporting on this or a little more reporting on that? I was traveling into these countries all the time, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia. Were we doing the kind of gritty, kind of on-the-ground reporting that RFA has since, developed itself into? Probably not. But again, these kinds of monsters develop in the bureaucracy, and this is still a monster. And it's, by the way, VOA is only $222 million. The total agency budget is $777 for 2017. So again, it's my position that downsizing at least. And it costs money to wind these organizations down too. So that's not where Congress is headed at this point, but based on the resources that we talk to on a day-to-day basis, as I said, things like the nuclear option are still on the table. I don't know how long they'll give the new CEO, if Lansing is replaced, time to do further repair work. We'll just have to see. It's an interesting thing to observe, and just don't believe the first thing that appears on your TV screen, whether it's coming from the left or the right. I'm trying to give you the straight story here. So now you know how it all developed, what Obama signed. If anyone says, the BBG, well, the BBG still kind of exists, but it kind of doesn't, right? I mean, you have these people who are serving out their terms, And then they're going to create this other acronym. And then some of them could probably still serve on that for a while. So there will be no BBG, but we'll have to, you know, what are they going to call it? I don't know.
I mean, what's this out like?
You're talking about top management?
Yeah.
Top managers in the agency routinely make either GS-15 or senior executive level top salary, 160 to 170, 180,000. If you look at FedSmith, it's right on the front page of BBG Watch. There's a on the right side, and you look at the salaries of a lot of the people at VOA. People make a lot of money. I mean, I was making a good, you know, very good salary when I left.
I
mean, and they're government positions. So if you stay there long enough, you lock in the pension. You know, whatever the pension is, you don't get good buyouts, by the way. You know, it's not like you're retiring. My friend, the AP White House correspondent, retired the other day.
Mark Smith.
You know, you get $25,000 before tax.
How much do the governors?
What's that?
The BBG governors.
Well, the governors are not salaried. Right. So, I mean, the governors, you know, they're former Hollywood execs, they're think tank presidents, they're, you know, Brian Crocker, the former ambassador, and they didn't know, which is another point, which is you can't have people like that sitting on the board and not expect policy to enter and then trickle down through the ranks. It's not going to happen. And when you have, I'll just make the final point, Ben Rhodes, who was Obama's key foreign policy advisor, video conferencing into a BBG session, and lamenting that the place wasn't doing enough to counter Russian, the evil Russian disinformation, there's no way that that's not going to have impact on programming. And it did. So, anyway, I hope I haven't depressed you. Great call.